Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
Y'all need to stop picking on Archie. Archie hasn't done anything to you.
Archie's dumb.
Hey, John.
Hi, Eric. Long time no see.
Yeah. Mister,
always giving me a hard time for not responding to you and stuff.
We're in.
Fuck the planet!
Welcome to this week's PHP podcast. I'm Joe Ferguson, and with me this week is Sarah.
You just said my name, so I don't need to introduce.
Welcome to me today
is Joe. How about
yes,
that?
Yes, it's both of us. Today, Eric was feeling a little bit under the weather, and John is busy doing something. John's busy in Discord, so he couldn't make the podcast either. So I was asked if I wanted to do the podcast and said, yeah, sure. And then Eric was like, oh, well, I'm going to reach out to Sarah, too. And I was like, oh, well, I'm definitely in now if Sarah's going to be on it. Yeah. So here we are. This is the PHP podcast done by PHP Architect, who I work for. I have the little fancy shirt, too, just with a nice little elephant logo. If you are looking for an event to go to coming up in Chicago, we have PHP Tech. It is our yearly PHP conference. It is a fantastic event. You get to hang out with a bunch of PHP people in Chicago in May. So you can check that out at phptech.io. And we also have a partner with us that helps make the podcast happen, Displace, from a friend of the community. And we will talk more about them in a little bit.
And I want to endorse that conference. I do not work for PHP Architect. You can tell because I'm not wearing a PHP Arch shirt. It's actually from PHP Appalachia 20 years ago. And if you know, you know. But PHP Tech has always been my favorite conference. It is my number one favorite one to go to. And if I weren't moving out of the country in about a week, I would totally be here.
So we need to get Eric and John to do PHP Tech Appalachia, is what I'm hearing.
I'm still waiting on the world is ready for that, but I'm still waiting for the second
PHP Appalachia. Yeah. That never happened because reasons.
We don't just. And I've already taken us off the rails. I'm sorry. So how's the week been since last week's podcast, which we were totally involved with?
We were totally there for, absolutely. Here at PHP Architect, we've been leveraging AI tools. Eric has talked a lot about them on this podcast. And one of the things that we kind of ran into that kind of made the news rounds a little bit, depending on how into Claude, specifically Claude Code, apparently there was one verified bug in their client command or their console CLI tool that essentially just would cause a 10 to 20x tokens just out of nowhere because you used a specific flag. Like you resumed your session and it would just automatically, they called it a cache miss is what was happening. So they were just burning through all of your usage. People were complaining about the people who were on the super duper plans that were really expensive were saying that they were burning through their quota in like 2 hours. And some of our team members were burning through half of their session quota. A 4 hour session is usually what it is. They were burning through their quota in like 15 minutes and it was doing regular stuff.
Of course, this is going to be the customer's problem, not the people who wrote the code.
Yeah.
It can't be the fault of the people who wrote the code because Claude writes his own code, right?
Claude writes his own code and apparently
it's infallible, right?
Absolutely, I'm sure. Because Claude reviewed it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Claude's code was fine. Yeah.
Now, no matter how much of the AI Kool-Aid you drink or just absolutely completely refrain from, there's a lot of discussion, and we're not going to talk about AI the entire time. I promise. We have some other things to talk about. On the note of Claude, because they actually did fix the usage thing. I don't know if our team members have seen any improvements. I was luckily not affected by it, but I also haven't really used Claude a whole lot this week. But another thing, Claude being in the news, is they managed to leak their source code for the CLI tool via a JavaScript map file, which is pretty fantastic if you're interested in the code. And one of the things that I saw happen almost instantly that a lot of other people noticed as well is people were running the Claude source code through Claude to make it rewrite it into other languages. And somebody on Mastodon called this code laundering, and I laughed out loud. And then I got really sad because
that is what the AIs have been doing for the past 2 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. For sure. So,
you hack onto us.
If you want to play with Claude's CLI source code, you can go do that now. And you can apparently pick your language as well. So try not to get your token stolen. Don't run things as root from the internet, people. Just be careful. Right.
I don't want to pick on Claude too much. Claude's had a bad week.
He has had a bad week.
He needs to go see his artificial therapist or something because it's been rough.
Almost as bad as GitHub falling out of the four nines, right? And the reliability. That's been another thing that I've actually been hit with this past week was GitHub availability, and trying to like edit PRs and edit comments and PRs was actually really kind of tough because they were just having issues. And somebody in one of the Discords I'm in posted earlier that they've fallen out of all the nines. They're now 89.99, whatever the reliables are.
Well, see, they got their nines back. They just start with an eight now.
Right.
So it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. It's nothing to worry about.
There's still five nines in there.
Yeah, somewhere.
Somewhere. It's just on the wrong
side. But I mean, GitHub was never 100% reliability, let's be fair. But like GitHub had much better reliability. And like, so that we're not crapping on Claude all the time, maybe Copilot has something to do with that. It's possible. I'm going to be very old person shaking fists and yelling at clouds because my God, nothing works. And we were talking about this before the show starts. Yeah. Why does nothing work anymore? And back in my day.
Speaking of clouds, the other thing that I think is contributing to GitHub's issues is at some point in the past 3 or 4 months, they posted a thing saying, look, we're going to be focused on migrating to Azure. So it read to me as a customer very much as don't expect many new features, right? We're going to be doing this other big migration thing. And yeah. I'm wondering if some of this is not like pain points of them cutting over, right? And trying to fire up the new infrastructure to replace the old infrastructure and then just having issues with that, right?
I mean, that's kind of inevitable to happen. Like even in the best circumstance where you've got like some old graybeard who knows exactly how everything is supposed to work, and all of the little quirks, you try to switch clouds, you're gonna run into little tiny things because there's just stuff. Like, but at the same time, you also are going to say like, oh, this phase is going a little weird. Let's roll it back so that we have good user experience while we figure out what went wrong and then try again, as opposed to just sort of like charge through, which I feel like might be happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody knows that, you know, giant migration plans always go exactly to plan and never have any hiccups or anything, especially switching cloud providers. Yeah. So how was your week since the last podcast?
How was my week? Well, I got over my case of COVID. That was nice.
That was nice.
I did have to cancel one of the things I wanted to go and see the doctor for while I was here. It involved a camera and some uncomfortableness, and that's what I'm going to say. So I'm happy to have canceled it. Yeah. I just saw the ophthalmologist to check out my eyes, doing all my medical stuff at once. And still blind, but now I'm more blind because my pupils are dilated. So every light mode screen I look at is now blasting me with even more photons than they already were because, my God, just implement dark mode. It's not hard.
Especially in this day and age.
It really is. It's a little bit of CSS, right? How hard can it be? And I know I'm overstating.
I appreciate the PHP's theme being darker. That way it doesn't matter, right?
I think that's what's kept us from implementing a proper dark theme all this time. Because technically, yes, PHP doesn't actually have a dark mode. And, you know, look in the mirror. Because like, I have a branch that is actually really close to being ready to publish. The problem is the code gen. There is highlight string is a function in PHP that will take PHP code and it'll just add highlighting for you. But it only highlights for one color palette and there is no way to configure it. So what I've got right now as well is a patch for internals to allow you to specify your own palette for what's going to come out. which would be nice in a general purpose thing for everybody. But as I'm writing this, I'm realizing, you know what? The right solution here is to actually just rewrite this entire thing in PHP, because all it really is call the lexer and, you know, step through the tokens and color them appropriately. So like this can be in the user space. So at some point when I'm not literally moving across an ocean, I will probably work on that. Or if anybody else wants to, Patch is always welcome for www.php.net.
I recently was told that by another PHP's internal person, and I followed it up with a patch. But before we get to that, let's...
Oh, I was trying to give you a segue.
I know, but before we do that, before I forget about it, I want to thank our partner for helping us make this podcast possible.
Yes. Thank you to our partners over at Displaced Technologies. Building PHP applications is your passion. Managing cloud infrastructure shouldn't be your headache. Displaced is your partner in cloud infrastructure orchestration, giving solo developers and small teams the tools and automation to deploy enterprise-grade Kubernetes clusters without the enterprise-grade complexity or cost. Their CLI tool streamlines everything from local development to fully managed cloud deployments on AWS, Azure, Google Cloud Platform, and more. Skip the steep learning curve of Docker, Kubernetes, and Terraform. Let their automation free you to focus on your core business without losing control of your infrastructure. Get started at displace.tech. That's displace.tech. And discover how the right tools can eliminate the need for a full DevOps team.
Thanks, Displace, for supporting the podcast. As someone who does DevOps and would really not like to be replaced by a service, I'm a little conflicted with this, but Displace is fantastic. It's from a great person in the community, Eric Mann. If you've ever met Eric at a conference, he is a fantastic person. And I wish I had access to Displace when I was managing Kubernetes clusters, because it would have helped me a lot. I'm sure I was managing them the very hard way with Terraform and Ansible. I guess not a hard way, but a complicated way.
In this day and age, I would say Eric Mann is the anti-AI. He's the cure to AI, because he will think very carefully about all of the code that he pushes, and he's not going to do security vulnerabilities just because AI told him it was a good idea.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because Claude was on one day. So
I was like, just echo raw user input straight to output. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, totally fine.
Fine.
All right. So what we were alluding to was the segue that I totally dropped.
You were talking about how you submitted a patch, because Derek told you patch is welcome.
Yes. So I was doing PHP things on the PHP website, which by that I was trying to update my profile on the people.php.net site, which you do from a site called main.php.net, as you do. So I went and I am very boring, and I just copy and paste the same string around my bio on like everywhere. So I just went to Mastodon, shout out to PHPC, our phpc.social on Mastodon, grabbed my profile, copied it, and I threw it into the form on the main.php.net site, and I submitted the form, and I went about my business. And then I got distracted. I went and looked at another tab or something, and then I eventually made my way back to the site, and I got a blank page. And I was like, wait, that's weird. The whole page was just blank. So I viewed source on the page, and in the code, there was a failed CSERF check. Warning.
Ooh.
And I was like, okay, that's weird. So I started playing with it. And then I realized, oh, I have emojis in my profile. I have four of them. I was like, is it the emojis? So I stripped everything out and put the four emojis, and it would not save. It kept throwing that same error. So I laughed, because of course this is like totally a me problem. This is not anybody else's problem other than me trying to use fancy emojis. So then I started figuring out, okay, which emoji is it? So I have a football, a soccer ball, an ice hockey, a racing car, and I have something else that I'm blanking on my profile. And I just started I put all four of them in there. That failed. I put three of them in there. That failed. I put two of them. Oh, it was a heart was the other one. So the heart and the soccer ball worked, and it saved the database, and everything was fine. I was like, okay, that's weird.
Okay.
So I went and pulled the repo down locally just to see if I could replicate it. And after tweaking some of the Docker Compose stuff to get it to work, I was able to not exactly replicate it, because locally it said the record was updated. But then when I refreshed the page, it wasn't updated. So I was very confused. So I wrote up a bug report, and like not really intending for this to be like a serious thing. It's just like, I realize this is like my problem, but let me see if I can help figure this out. So I just mentioned it in Discord, and then I started working on the issue, and then Derek chimes in and is like, oh, that's odd. And so some time goes back, we go back and forth a little bit, and then ultimately it comes out to being a character set for the database. And it was only the user profile field on the database that was UTF-8, which won't support any of the higher numbered emojis. The I'm not sure if it's the ASCII or what it is. And you can probably explain that difference better than I can.
It'll be the supplemental multilingual plane.
Right. So the solution was to make that table, do an alter on that table to make it the UTF-8 MB4. I may get that wrong, but update the character set. Yeah. And I did that locally, worked perfectly. I was like, oh, hey, I think this is the fix. So I committed the fix, shared the PR, and then Derek got around to looking at it, and somebody else from internals gave me feedback, which was helpful. So I updated the PR, and then Derek was like, I haven't really done SQL in a while. I don't know how to do this. I was like, oh, well, here's the command I ran. And he went and did it on the backup server, and it ran fine. And then we had to change something. The collation, I think, was wrong that I had given him. So he fixed that for the live server, and then that worked. And he did that, and then I went and did it. And you can have higher order emojis or higher numbered emojis now on php.net.
Awesome.
It was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw your diff, and I saw it's just UTF-8 to UTF-8 MB4. And, like, I understood what it was, but, like, I was still annoyed by it because... I don't like when implementations, because there are lots of implementations that do this. They'll take UTF-8, and UTF-8 will support the entire Unicode set. It will go all the way up to 1 million something code point if it's actual UTF-8. A lot of them will say UTF-8, but actually be something else under the hood. And usually it is something that is restricted to just the basic multilingual plane, which are the first 65,536 characters. And some emojis are in that. Other emojis have been shoved way up into the 4-byte range, and that's what the MB4 is multibyte for. So, yeah.
Yeah.
This is my SQL, isn't it?
MariaDB. So...
For practical purposes, my SQL is MySQL. Yeah. Sorry. In my day, my SQL is my SQL.
Some people split those hairs very on the line, so I try to be explicit.
I thought MySQL's default version of UTF-8 was actually CESU 8 under the hood, CESU, which is a obnoxious and disgusting form of UTF-8, where you'll take a code point, split it into UTF-16 surrogate pairs, and then run UTF-8 encoding on each of those. And so you wind up with up to 6 bytes to store a Unicode point, which is the worst option that there is out there. Good catch. That sounds like a really hard one to catch, honestly, because you have to look at these emojis and be like, well, what's different about these? Why is this a problem?
And Derek was the one who pointed it out, and it made sense to me once he showed the math behind the characters. So the Unicode. Once he showed the math, I was like, oh, of course it doesn't support those because those numbers are too high.
Yeah, the numbers are too high. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because again, a lot of implementations will just cover 3-byte UTF-8. Because that's enough for 90% of what you need. It covers every Western language. There's a lot of CJK that's not included in there. So you actually just fix things for a lot of Chinese, Japanese, Korean speakers. So well done.
Cool.
And if you want to get, I don't know, ancient Egyptian in there, that might help fix that too.
I don't know if we have a translation for that. It's been a while since I looked at the supported translations.
I don't think we have a documentation translation for that. But it's like literally like hieroglyphics. And there's some naughty ones in there if you really want to have fun with your people's page now, but
this is going to come back on me. I'm going to get in trouble for enabling other people to do naughty things in their profiles.
I have way too much of Unicode in my head because of PHP 6. More things about Unicode in there than should be in there, honestly.
Mike is wondering if he's tuned into the wrong podcast. And I think
you've tuned into the right podcast.
You're exactly where you need to be, Mike.
The thing is, those comments are delayed relative to our conversation, so he hasn't even gotten to the hieroglyphics yet.
Right. So the other thing that I've been poking around with, speaking of internals and PHP stuff, the other thing I've been poking around with or working on getting to the point where I can start poking around with it is the PHP infrastructure, which I've known for a while. Derek does a lot of the direct management and day-to-day stuff, and I've reached out to offer him help where I can, because I love tinkering with servers and I'm pretty decent with Ansible, which is what he's been using to backfill playbooks for the existing infrastructure. And he shared the he recently updated the repo, and I've been playing with that. I actually took one of my old gaming PCs through a fresh blank SSD and it installed Proxmox so I could start spinning up Debian VMs. So I now have 8 Debian VMs that match what is running in production PHP that's backed by the playbooks. There's more than that, because I think there's 3 or 4 servers, like the mail server and a couple of the other servers that he just hasn't added to Ansible yet. So I'm working on being able to run all those playbooks locally so I could help him manage and contribute some of that stuff and modernize it if it needs it, and just, you know, try to pitch in to PHP where I think I can, because I'm certainly not going to write any C that anybody wants to accept anytime soon.
That is honestly some really important work, because, like, I'm not going to say Derek is a single point of failure right now, but, like, in terms of bus factor, it's on the same level as, like, if we, you know, completely lost, well, I was going to say if we completely lost Dimitri, but we haven't lost Dimitri. It's a bad example. if we had lost Dimitri 3 years ago, when, you know, before we were, like, getting the foundation in place and getting better processes for getting different people trained up, like basically Joe's post about the bus factor still applies to systems, because when something goes wrong with the systems, that's pretty much Derek fixing it. And yeah, there are other people with the keys, but, like, not everybody knows it.
Yeah, I think so. Last week or 2 weeks ago, there was an issue with the CDN, and only people not in Europe were having issues getting to PHP.net. And Derek was the one who had to debug that. And he was the one that had to reach out to the CDN provider to debug. So, yeah, it's been interesting to get some of those insights and see what is actually going on behind the scenes, because there's a ton that people don't recognize, I'm sure. I'm sure there's more than even with what I've seen.
I mean, I think most people can probably guess at a lot of pieces of it, because, you know, even those of us who specialize in just software dev, like, we have visibility into DevOps. We know what goes into, like, making these services actually run, because when they break, they call us in to fix it, because what happens. So, like, I think a lot of people can at least guess at what goes into that. And I think, like, at least 90% of what we use is already in, like, open source, like, repos. You can go and find the scripts if you really want to, which I'm sure you've just done recently.
Yeah,
exactly. Setting up all of your VMs. But sometimes it is kind of staggering to realize, like, how many pieces are in there, because it's more than just the website, and it's more than just the engine source code.
For sure. The other thing, well, one thing, speaking about bus factors, I think where PHP does bus factor really well is release managers, especially since I think the process got overhauled around 8 or 8.1, where we started doing the 3. Was it earlier than that? Was it 7?
It's earlier. It was in the 7 series, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So if you're unfamiliar, the release managers for PHP 8.6, the upcoming release, the voting on who those release managers will be is open. I'm one of them. You could go vote for me. Several people have, and I appreciate that. So the release managers are the people who are in charge of the day-to-day release management of PHP, the source code, the interpreter, and several other things. So these are the people who are essentially in charge of making sure that we merge everything correctly. And the process, if you're not familiar, is you have one veteran release manager on every release, and you have 2 rookie or new people. Mine, I'm running for one of the new people because I haven't done it before. And then once you've done it, you can then run for a veteran position to where you oversee and you mentor people. And I think that is phenomenal to reduce that bus factor. And not only that, but to encourage people to get involved. Even somebody like me who isn't involved in the day-to-day internals discussions, but because I don't really have much to contribute, but wants to help and wants to, and has spare CPU cycles to be able to go help and do these things. So it's a pretty good experience, I think.
Yeah. And it is continuing to evolve. And I realized what you were saying, like, I was thinking about this thing that had changed back in the 7 series, but, like, it changed again early in 8. So you weren't wrong. I was thinking of a different part of it. We kind of got into the habit of the rookie veteran cycle early into 7. And then we because there were just some really great rookie options that we really wanted to get in, I think it was either 7-4 or 8-1. I can't remember which side of my last release it was. We decided, you know what, let's just have just three. Three people's fine. We can have one veteran and two rookies. And then we're training up twice as many people. And the rookies can focus on it. And the veteran can just sort of make sure that things don't blow up in the meantime or fill in as necessary. And what we're doing right now, actually, I just found this out, is, and this is kind of a minor thing, but I think it's an important detail. We are going to be changing, well, assuming everybody agrees to it, we're going to be changing the names of these rather than rookie veteran, which kind of implies that somebody who knows what they're doing should not be filling one of these active rookie slots. We're going hands off, hands on. So hands off should be a veteran, somebody who's done it before. They're there to make sure that everything's working correctly. But then hands on, that can be a rookie or it could be, you know, a veteran if just somebody's like, you know, maybe somebody's retired and they don't want to be completely not doing anything. They'll run for one of the hands on positions anyway, which I was going to do, but there are a bunch of really good names in there already.
So tons of people. I think there's 7 or 8 of us that have thrown their hat in the ring. It's pretty awesome to see that kind of turnout for.
I want to say there's at least 7 for the hands on. Including you, yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the hands off, hands on verbiage. And that may just be me. I think Ben Ramsey mentioned he wasn't a fan of it as well. To me, it's not really. To me, it comes off as a negative connotation. But I fully get that may just be me, and it may just be a me.
I mean, it's not in stone yet. Like we can, we can figure out what color to paint the bike shed.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely.
And that's all this is a bike shed painting exercise. But I like the idea that we are no longer focusing on the people who are doing the actual week by week work, like necessarily seeming like they have to be rookies because they don't have to. And they never did. But like it's important to kind of just remind everyone when that phase comes along.
Yeah, I'm looking, even if I don't get it, I'm looking forward to it. I think this podcast probably knows very well that Eric famously ran for release manager and also did not get it. This is my third attempt, and if I don't get it this time, I'll keep trying and maybe I'll track
have
along.
Have you not done it once yet?
I've not done it at all.
How is that possible, Jim?
I keep, because when I sign up, there's 5 or 6 other awesome people.
Because you are such a thought leader that you like.
Yeah,
well, my first choice, like my first choice vote went to you. So
yes,
you better.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, looking at it, it looks like we've got a clear front runner for the first position, and you're kind of close to tied for second. So we'll see how that turns.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And like I said, if I don't get it, I'm not going to be like Eric and get really mad about it. It's okay.
Yeah. Oh, Eric's not even mad about it.
Eric's not mad about it. We just like to give him crap about it.
Just because he took the week off out of protest and calling it man flu or whatever he did. Like, no, yeah. We understand. He's not that mad.
John still hasn't forgotten.
Except it then.
Right.
And yes, when you cast a vote for Joe to be release manager, you must shout, yo, Joe, because yo-ing is half the battle.
Yo-ing is half the battle. Right. So what, I guess what recently has been going on other than, with the PHP Foundation, what's been going on? I know that there's been 2 big headlines. They talked about, Elizabeth Barron joining, they talked about, Matt Stauffer, I think last week joining the board. What else has been going on?
Going on with the board? Going on with the foundation? Gosh. Put me on the spot for this one.
Sorry. I should have.
I mean, those are the big things, honestly, is welcoming Matt onto the board. We've had a committee position open for a little while. Not that we've been like advertising for anything, but like we need a better distribution of who is kind of making the month by month decisions because we don't want it to just be, you know, a single yes think tank. So Matt brings in some other perspectives that aren't currently present. So that was an important thing. And then, Elizabeth, God, okay, so the hunt for the executive director, that felt exhausting to me because there were definitely some really good candidates on the board. I'm not going to name any specific names because that's their choice if they want to like make that public or not. But I definitely, the top five or so of that set was a really good set of options. But I'm happy with the choice for Elizabeth. She's plugged into open source. She's plugged into getting funding for open source and managing things with her work at Chaos. And of course, she has her roots in PHP. I am wearing this shirt. She organized the original PHP Appalachia 20 some years ago. So, she's not just some rando who's popped in on the scene. Not that any of the others were randos. They were all, well established and good people. The devs are, they've all got something to work on. I know James is still working really hard on Pi. I'm super excited for Pi. I think Pickle has been needing replacing for a really, really long time. And he's made something really great with Pi that works with Composer well. Like, we don't have to host our own package management things if the community is going to do it, because the community is going to do a better job at it. Jory's been running packages and a Composer, or Nils, sorry, has been running Composer as for so long and doing such a damn good job of it. Composer changed the game, man. Like, I was so happy when Composer became a solid thing. So I'm more than happy to let extensions kind of live out in the world outside of PHP. I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I helped James test a Mac binary that he was working on with Pi, because if you're going to run some questionable code from the internet and from somebody that you across the country or across the world, why not, James? I mean, it seemed fine.
We'll just throw it at Claude or Copilot or something. They'll make sure it's fine.
Right. Sure. Claude will be like, you're absolutely right. This is totally fine.
But Claude, this appears to be a Linux binary. Oh, my mistake. You're absolutely right.
You're absolutely right. Let me reformat that for you. Let me rewrite this binary.
I renamed it to .exe. It should work now.
No, I think some of them would be at least reasonable enough to try to disassemble them first and then fail spectacularly at that would be my guess. But yes.
Rename this to the Crapping on AI podcast.
This podcast is not brought to you by any LLM ever.
Eric, John, sorry that you're not going to get that sweet Microsoft sponsor money for Copilot endorsements. Oh,
did you see where people pointed out that the Copilot terms have changed recently, and there's now a very big bold statement that essentially says Copilot is for entertainment purposes only? So you're not allowed. You're not supposed to do anything with Copilot in production.
It's entertainment only.
Oh, sick own burn. Oh, my God.
I was like, wow, that's a choice.
I mean, you know what? Honesty.
You know, if and maybe that's what they're finding out. They can't trust it.
Yeah, I personally have found AIs to be incredibly entertaining over the years. Yes.
The other Copilot thing that I saw recently was they started injecting ads into Copilot into PRs that Copilot reviewed. At the very last line of the review that Copilot would be a come visit this URL, sign up for this service, and use Copilot. And somebody did a GitHub search, because GitHub search is usually really good, right? They searched for that string, and it was just thousands of PRs that were just adding this on there. And I saw something. Supposedly that was going to stop, and Microsoft was going to stop doing that because of how prolific and how much pushback there was for that. Which honestly, I'm happy about, because that's what companies need to do. They need to listen to their users, especially when it comes to this AI stuff, because it's not the right tool for all the jobs, which is what all of the tech bros and AI companies are trying to push on you. It is a tool if you want to use it. My personal issue with it. All the issues aside, I'm kind of terrified that if I don't learn how to use it or work with it, that I'm going to be replaced. I've told Eric and John before, I'm worried that, a trench coat full of three Claude bots is going to replace me. Luckily, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, you're not wrong. Like, as much as I just absolutely dunk on AI all the time, the reality is, it is a tool that has a place in the world. And if people were using it at an appro- like an actual appropriate like level where it's like, this is a good use of the technology. I think AI in search has been fantastic. I throw a plain language search query at Google, and Gemini usually gets me maybe not always accurate results, but at least, you know, it'll get me close enough that I can figure out what the answer is. I think that's been a great use. But to what you said, yeah, right now, people are trying to throw it at every single thing. And the fact that you cannot run Windows 11 without AI being all up in your face is broken. And it's not a good look at all.
I've managed to run Windows 11 without Copilot, and I've had to disable it 3 separate occasions. So
only three.
Yeah. So yeah, it's another funny AI thing. As you're listening to the AI dunking podcast, earlier it just came across my friend was playing a racing game. He was driving a Supra car, and he made the statement of, "Oh, I wonder if these are rear wheel or all wheel drive cars." And I just threw it into Google. I was like, "Google, were there any Toyota Supras that were all wheel drive?" And Google said, "Typically, hypercars or supercars are all wheel drive." It's like, no, a Toyota Supra. And Google's AI was like, no, you're talking about a supercar, not a Supra. So it's just like, so Google's AI is just completely oblivious to the Toyota Supra, which
it got lost to its own autocorrect.
Oh my god! I don't know. I think that's just one of those things that it the autocorrect is prioritized higher than the inference of the AI. Maybe I just thought it was comical.
I'm so used to AIs just being obsequious about like, oh no, you're right. The sky is definitely orange.
Yeah,
I completely agree with you. It's actually kind of surprising to have it disagree with you.
Yeah.
It's like, no, there's no Toyota Supra. It's only supercars.
Right. It's like, okay, Google, I guess your AI is right. Fine.
Oh, man. Yeah, we could dunk on AI just all day long, man. Did we have other topics?
We do have other topics. I actually have a journal question about more internal PHP stuff. So we talked about the infrastructure repo. We talked about the web.
No, we did not talk about the infrastructure repo, I believe. We talked about your work with VMs.
Oh yes, we did not talk about the infrastructure repo. The infrastructure repo is a set of Ansible scripts, Ansible playbooks that connect to the servers and perform tasks like configuring services and doing deployments and such. That's what I'm going to be tinkering with. But there's other applications out there. There's main.php.net. There's the php.net itself. There's a wiki as well. And this is all PHP, raw vanilla PHP. And even in the contribution documentation on all these repos, it says very plainly, this is expected to run, if you're contributing it, this is expected to run on vanilla PHP. Please don't use any extensions. And I get that. I guess my question is, why are these applications, for lack of better word, why are they lagging behind compared to like modern PHP? I mean, even looking at Symfony, Laravel, the big names, why do those apps linger or not really linger? They're maintained.
There's multiple questions in there, and I'll try to address each one. So like the first one is like, why aren't we using like frameworks or like, you know, extra libraries to make these things? Because why write all the code again ourselves? The very simple answer to that is that from very early on, and this largely came from Rasmus, but I think a lot of us like very much agreed with this, is like, we don't want to be seen to be endorsing any one framework. We don't want to be seen like, well, PHPNet uses, let's say, Zen Framework 1, so that's clearly the best and the one we should be using. And we really, really don't want to be saying that. We want to say like, okay, PHP is a Turing-complete language. Do what you want in it. And if you want to go and grab a framework from somebody else, go for it. That's fine. But we're going to tell you what you want to do because that's not our place to do. And I still feel that way in terms of wanting to avoid showing favoritism. But at the same time, like the reality is, there are some really great frameworks out there. And I'm not going to name any of them right now. But there are some really great ones out there. And like, I wouldn't lose any sleep if people were, trying to champion and succeeding at putting a framework onto PHP.net.
Right.
But it is also one that we need to be cautious about how we do it.
Yeah, that's an interesting angle. I hadn't thought about that, but I think I agree with it. It's perfectly valid to not show favoritism.
Yeah. Kind of the second thing in there, which I kind of heard like hiding underneath it, is like, well, why does the code seem to be getting kind of on the old side? Like, why is it like, okay, fine, we're writing it ourselves. Why aren't we updating it? Why aren't we making it newer? My answer to that would be like, God damn it, I have been.
And the second answer is,
I need to channel some Eric in there. Commits are definitely going in that are modernizing of the PHP code base. And for a period of time, the danger there is like, okay, we have all these different mirrors all over the world that we don't even control, because our mirror program used to be completely voluntary. Somebody would spin up a server, they'd tell us about it. We're like, okay, we'll point, you know, pt.php.net at you because you've got a server in Portugal. Fine. That has changed now. It's all just a single site that's controlled by us and then mirrored by the cloud. But there was a long time where it's like, well, we can't use 7.0 code in this because there's a bunch of 5x mirrors out there.
Right.
And it has to run in them. So that would slow things down a bit. And even now, if it ain't broke, don't fix it applies a lot of the time.
Absolutely.
I have gone through and updated a number of things, especially in the 7x period where I was doing actually a lot of release management stuff. I would go in and change things like with the downloads pages and stuff like that to just make them easier to get updates about the new releases that were coming out. And occasionally if some new bit of functionality would throw in there. There's lambdas in there. There's null coalesces in there. There's various little bits of more modern stuff. And I say this like lambdas or null coalesce modern, but you know what I mean? Modern compared sure. to where it was.
Right.
But
I'm not saying this code is bad at all. Right. That's not my intention.
Yeah. I don't think it is. Honestly, I think it's pretty decent code.
Yeah.
It's simple. It does what it needs to.
Yeah. Even debugging this Unicode into a code base that I have never looked at, I was able to go in and find the database class and in the SRC folder, exactly where you'd expect it. And it made my heart flutter a little bit where I saw a bunch of includes, including hard path files. I was like, oh man, I remember those days.
Yeah. Because we don't use Composer either.
Well, I think there's a Composer. There's a Composer JSON in that
project.
Is there? I don't know that all of those pages are using it. So I think it may be mid migration or something. I saw required and just kind of had a fond chuckle.
You would have been working on main.php.net, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not as familiar with that code base. I had very little cause to do anything to the main website.
Yeah. Cause you were trying to use 4 emojis in your profile.
I have definitely put emojis in my profile, but apparently not the multi-byte ones. So.
Right.
Which, by the way, I want to mention, Eric put a comment much earlier in the chat somewhere, where he was saying that, apparently supplemental multilingual plane, Jesus, sorry. There are SMP code points that were working just fine, like the CJK stuff. And it was something more specific about the emojis specifically, which is surprising to me because the only thing about the emojis that might be in there are like the zero width combining, but. Like, there's no reason zero width combiners shouldn't have worked based on the character set. So I'm not. Mm-hmm. We'll have to get Derek to explain to us exactly what the issue was there.
If we wanted to encourage people to contribute to this, how where would they start? If somebody's I want to go work on some PHP sites.
The first place you could start with that is actually just github.com/PHP, not into a specific repo, but just the organization PHP. There's actually a README MD on there that talks about a lot of the different repos that are under the PHP umbrella. Not all of them. We don't go exhaustive with it because you might as well just look at all available repos at that point. But the most common ones, like the repo for the website, the repo for the documentation, the repo for the English translation, the actual source code repo, those are highlighted in there. And I mean, it is open source. Like, go and take a look at it and go. PHP-web is the website. It is all PHP code. Like, I think anyone watching this podcast should be able to just grab that. You can actually just run the PHP built-in web server because there is a, I think it's router.php on there that will just serve up the PHPNet website from the built-in web server as a single command to, and go. And it's in the README somewhere. So like getting that up and running shouldn't, asterisk, be hard. And if
and
there's
it's not
something
like
you
need
you
a bunch of extensions either, right?
No, you don't need a bunch of extensions. There's a couple, I think MBString and a few others that you do specifically need. But like if you wanted to work on that dark mode thing, don't wait on my account. If you want to get that thing going, go for it. Like I said, the syntax highlighting you can do in user space. And I don't even think it would be hard. So like work on it, throw up a pull request. The way PHP web is laid out, once somebody with authority has said like, this is clearly not malicious code, they can push a button and you will get a spun up instance to show you how it actually gets served up. And it'll be, you know, some weird string dot whatever, PHP something dot net. Mm-hmm. It won't be PHPNet. It'll be a different domain because CSRF and all that. But that's just working on any PHP project. And hopefully somebody is paying enough attention to get the reviewed. There are a limited number of people reviewing it, but the ones that are doing a really good job of it lately. We have gotten some really good folks, partly connected to the foundation, partly not, who are taking really good care of PHPNet these days. And that applies to all the repos, of course. Made up PHPNet is in there. PHP source, obviously, for the source code. You do need to know your way around C. But I will say this, if you're thinking about, you know, learning C, the PHP source code is actually, in my opinion, a really good spot to do that. Because, like, the actual act of running that, like, you know how to run PHP and do things within PHP. So look at the implementation of any user space function. Like, say you want to look at, stir to lower as an example. Literally look for the string stir to lower in the code base. Eventually you'll find one that's next to it, all caps PHP underscore function, parentheses, stir to lower. That is the implementation of the stir to load function. And we've got so many macros and so many plain language APIs in there that you can probably infer a lot of that just as somebody who has worked in the language that is ultimately a descendant of a common ancestor with C. Like we forget sometimes how much common language we actually have within programming these days. It's like how most European languages can trace their roots at least partially to the Romans because that has spread everywhere. It's the same thing. The ancestor languages of PHP and C are one of those Roman type languages that have just spread everywhere. And then occasionally you went into some Greek or German and things get confusing, but at least there's no Pamaim Nekodasians in there anymore, right? Joe, if you do not recognize Pamaim Nekodasians,
I recognize
it. Very upset.
I recognize it, but wasn't there an RFC or I wasn't sure how serious it was of removing it? Or I guess there was always being a lot of talk about removing it because it quote unquote didn't make sense. But if you knew, it was always this joke, right?
It was imminently Googleable, yes. No, yeah. That's what I'm saying. We don't have that anymore. I mean, technically we do. Canonically, the token is now T double colon. Okay. And that is what it will show up in error messages now. But we do have the constant for it. And so T Pamaim Nekodatium is just an alias for T double colon.
Nice.
I was so worried that you didn't even recognize the reference.
No, I was so mad. I have been around that long. All right. So we've covered internals. We've covered the foundation. We've covered how to contribute, how you can start poking around at that. Let's see. What else do we have to talk about?
There was some interesting looking things. How about we've been dunking on AI so much. How about we talk about some PHP happiness?
Some PHP happiness. I saw this. Now Eric did give us several topics to talk about in case mm-hmm. we ran out of topics. So I saw this one and just there's a lot of PHP and there's a lot of enus at the end. And I just don't know how to say that safely.
I'm being careful just to say happiness and not try to make it.
Yes.
Happiness. Something in that. yes. Yes. There was many years back, a conference that had t-shirts that says, enhance your, I thought that was rather unfortunate. I don't love this particular URL, but I will take it. That was you. Like,
yeah.
Sorry. I saw somebody throw the URL out there. but yeah, this is kind of just meant to be a counterpoint to PHP sadness. which I think is completely fair. And it's celebrating what this person who posted it sees as things that are really good about the PHP language. And I don't see any to argue with. The only thing I would argue with on this is that, like, it implies that PHP has only become great essentially since 5.5 and later.
Right.
Arguably even 7 and later, because there's very few 5.5 things in there. I actually specifically went looking for generators because I'm like, there better be generators. I'll agree that these are all great things, and I'm so glad we have them now, and the language is better having them. But I'm one of those people who think, I thought PHP 3 was pretty gosh darn awesome. I thought PHP 4 was a great improvement over PHP 3, and PHP 5 was just chef's kiss by comparison. Yeah, because the language was getting really mature at that point. Am I going to say that 7 wasn't an amazing step up? No, I'm not. Am I going to say that 8 hasn't been even better? No, I'm not going to say that either. But, like, I have all the PHP happiness is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. I went from Perl to PHP 5. And at the time, I was still working on some stuff that was in PHP 4, but most of the stuff was PHP 5. So that was my entry into the language. And just to look back and to think about how many people that are working on PHP today got to skip PHP 5 for just because of when they found language. And
I know what you mean. I'm still going to bristle at the idea of, like, PHP 5.
So. Right. Yeah.
But I get what you mean.
But
because 7 is so much better.
The younger people, the younger crowd that PHP has to compete with to onboard new developers, they want the sexy, slick JavaScript stuff, and PHP has come a long way. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I got it. And it has been so weird to be, you know, there for all of PHP's like growth. Well, not all of it. Like, there was, I think PHP had been out for almost 6 years by the time that was by the time I got involved in it. PHP now for about 2 years by the time I started using it. But watching it grow has been really, really nice. And I may eat my hat when it comes to AI later, because AI turns out to be really awesome. And we're all just sitting on the bridge of the enterprise saying, computers, I'll describe the nature of the universe, and getting a reasonable answer.
I just wish it wasn't so polarizing within our community, because it feels like there are people that I cannot talk to about AI because they are just that off put by it. They'll hear nothing of it. And I understand and I empathize with that, but I don't know. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish there weren't so many other concerns about AI, but yeah.
I think there are people on the other side of that. People who are just all in on AI.
Oh, yeah.
And they are just ready for this to take over. And they're like, the sooner this can completely replace me as a developer, the better. And, which, by the way, as a pinky commie, red, I will say I am all for nobody having to work in any job. I just don't think we're there yet. So there are people on, I think, on both sides of that going to the extremes, almost like it's a political thing. There's people going to the extremes.
Yeah.
And there's definitely room for nuanced approach. And that's why I do want to say, I don't want to completely crap on AI, because I definitely have seen places where it's had really good use. And I'm really in favor of it. I wish we could come in, moderate a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So in other news, there was another NPM supply chain attack or hack, I guess, depending on how you want to talk about it. Or phrase it, but the NPM package Axios, which, if my understanding is, if you're doing almost any fancy requests and modern request and response stuff in JavaScript, you're going to use this package. Okay. The maintainer was hacked, or his account was compromised, and that's what led to bad actors getting access to the package, being able to publish malware, and then having it distributed. I think the exposure time was something less than 3 hours. I mean, it was discovered.
That's good.
It was discovered and patched really, really quickly. So to everyone involved on NPM side and the package maintainer getting access back, that's one of those good things. And I don't want to downplay this, but what I thought was interesting that came out of it was in our Discord, and I'm blanking on who it was, but they asked the question, why isn't this happening more in PHP?
And I mean, it did happen pretty recently.
did it.
Well, it feels like recently for me, a couple of years, I guess. Do you remember this one?
I guess I've forgotten or blanked it out, but I don't know. Thinking about it, like from an attacker standpoint, the only thing that I would guess is Axios is like a gold pot at the end of the rainbow for an attacker is in terms of blast radius and the people that are using that package, right? Being able to spread the malware and such, whereas a PHP package may not have the same blast radius. Maybe PHP isn't appealing enough for an attacker, which I guess I'm okay with. But at the same time, I feel like Packagist does a really good job and Composer does a really good job of securing everything as best they can from their endpoint. But at the end of the day, it's still up to me, Joe, the human, my responsibility to protect my keys and my credentials from being phished or leaked. And knock on wood, I've luckily haven't had any major issues, but you know, other people aren't going to be as fortunate, and maybe I'm going to not be as fortunate in the future. But it's just one of those things that I thought was interesting on why we don't see this more prolific in the PHP community.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to put any kind of answer out there that kind of victim blames what happened with Axios. Like,
sure,
that sucks, and it's not fun. And also, I do want to throw this out there, and I think I have found the right link for it. I'm going to post this into Discord right now. Just trying to do that while you were talking. I think it's that one. And feel free to highlight that. I believe this is the video where on this channel, we talked about the compromise in PHP's Git server. This was back when we were running our own Git server, git.php.
Ah, right. Okay.
It wasn't that anyone's credentials were compromised, but it is that some vulnerability, I think, in the web view to that Git server, there was some like zero day or known exploit that we hadn't patched yet, allowed them to basically put in commits. Initially, I think it was as Rasmus, and then they did their second commit, I think, was as Nikita. And it was super obvious in terms of what the exploit was. It was basically like, hey, if you pass in this query parameter, then just eval some code or something like that. It was really, really obvious and plain. But that stuff happens. And in that case, I would say that it was a degree of carelessness. We were running our own Git server and either not patching it correctly or not paying attention to it enough that somebody was able to compromise us in this way. Fortunately, it was found very quickly, and like the logs convinced between the logs and actual like just manually reviewing the code, convinced ourselves that like, okay, this is the extent of the intrusion and we feel good about this. But I think the most important thing was actually that video, because we went out and we said, hey, look, stuff happened. Oops.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right.
Here's what we're going to do about it. We're going to stop running our own Git server. We're going to let GitHub do this because it has 5 nines of reliability and we can.
That's
called a comedic callback, kids. To my knowledge, GitHub's not getting compromised in the daily. So, I think the opportunity for the PHP Git repos to have been compromised was probably a lot higher in the past, not just because that Git server, but also because, it was normal and commonplace for somebody to just commit something, push it directly. Now we at least have a code review process that doesn't necessarily stop people from just pushing things without review, but like it's more of a less expected thing to happen than it was before. So I think that's helping to protect us. And that is something you only really get from the scale of having a project with a lot of people involved. I don't know Axios, but if it's just like a project meeting by one guy in Nebraska in his spare time, then, maybe they don't have the resources to have reviews for everything.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people that have access to, or at least if you look at the people.php.net site, there are a ton of people with accounts there. So the ability for people to contribute, it's really awesome that there's so many people out there that have that ability.
I will say, the last time I looked, the number was around 800 something. It's probably higher than that. That's probably over 1,000 right now. I haven't looked in a very long time. But I will say the majority of those will tend to be documentation contributors. And yes, it's bad if bad documentation gets in, no doubt. But if the total of your access is to the, say, Czech language translation, then that's the blast radius for your damage. So the number of people who have access to the PHP website is much, much smaller than that. The internal source code, it's smaller than docs, but it's bigger than the website, you know. So we try to exercise principle of least privileges best we can.
But also bus factor, right? You have to make sure people have access. And if somebody just disappears, somebody can pick up the position or the task, whatever they're responsible for.
But I think bus factor is the most important component to that there, yeah. And we have been actually in recent years trimming people out of that list. One person showed up recently, just kind of out of the blue. Ilya Alshinetsky was a contributor to PHP in the early, early days. He was in the project well before I was, so at least turn of the century. And he was really active for a long time, and then he just kind of had other projects. He went off and did other things. Whatever, people do that. I definitely had quiet periods myself. He got taken out of the rights at some point, probably during the move to GitHub, maybe earlier. But he's shown up again, and he's thrown up patches. They're going through the review process, and he kind of doesn't need direct access to commit yet. But if he does, like, you know, we know we can trust Ilya. He was a release manager in the 5 right. series. I think he did 5.2. If he's active again, it's fine. But cutting people's access off because they've gone inactive is not a personal judgment. It's just principle of least privileges.
That's security controls.
Pretty basic. Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
Filthy Axios guy, I don't know, maintainer. It's good they caught it.
Yeah. Anything else we want to cover before we take off?
I mean, we're getting pretty close to our time, so I think we've done a good job here. We covered this and this.
I need to give Eric his computer back.
Oh my God. I was going to say we totally should have recorded him taking the stream back, but
right.
That wasn't recording. That was live.
You can tell it was live by my typing.
I will be honest. I want to give you props here because, like, that idea only got floated like what, maybe 2 hours before we started streaming. Like, you threw that into fast, dude. Like, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I love it when the plan comes together. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for joining me. This has been the PHP Podcast with my guest, Sarah Goldman. I'm Joe Ferguson. Please check out phptech.io to join us in Chicago for PHP Tech or JS Tech. If you are a JavaScript developer, we have a whole event track going on for you too. Also, if you're looking to hire PHP developers, send an email to support@phparch.com. We're hireable. You can hire me to work on your project and I'll come in there and build your Ansible playbooks and look at your code. And that's a thing.
And he'll use the right amount of AI.
The right amount of AI, right. What even is that? All right. Thanks everybody for joining us. We'll see you next time.
And vote for Joe.
And vote for me. Yes, please.
Yes.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.